today is Matthew 18, verses 1 to 5. And I'll be reading from the NRSV version. And it reads, "At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, 'Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' He called a child whom he put among them and said, 'Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me.'" Amen.
You know, God is so bountiful, isn't he, to us all the time. It absolutely gobsmacks me how he provides for us, even when we think we've got nothing, something turns up, and we experience that in our food bank every week. We run out and he provides, and he does that in our lives. Now is our opportunity to give a little back. If the deacons would like to come forward and take up the tithes and offerings, please. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, you are such a bounteous King, a bounteous God who gives us so much, Lord. We pray that these offerings will be given in wholeheartedly, and that the monies will be used to serve you in the best way possible, to further the message of eternal life through Jesus Christ, the plan of salvation that you had for us and designed for us at the very foundation of the world. Lord, I pray that we will be able to spread your word throughout this community and beyond. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ah, any children in the house? I think we have quite a few today. Would the children like to come forward? Because Lakin has a story for you. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to sit down here because I feel very tall. It's nice to see so many young faces. Is everyone good? Yeah? Have you had a good Sabbath so far? Yeah? You don't sound too sure. Have you had a good Sabbath so far? Okay, good. That's good to hear. So I want to tell you a story about a boy.
Hey, happy Sabbath, church. I feel a lot taller than I am used to because I'm actually wearing heels. So this feels very strange, but hopefully it will be okay as I talk today. So as I was thinking about what I should say to kind of like break the ice, I remembered that one of my friends, he's doing mission at the moment and he's in Romania. And instead of saying happy Sabbath, they actually say happy day to each other. And then they say God is good all the time and all the time God is good. And I was like, that's really cool. So happy day, everyone. And happy Sabbath as well. But today's sermon is titled Childlike Faith. And I want to tell you a story. Actually, no, before we begin, let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing us all here today. Thank you for bringing us to the end of another week. And thank you that the weather has been amazing as well. And I pray that it will continue to be like this and that we'll have a lovely summer in England. In your loving name I pray, amen. So I want to tell you a story about me, actually, when I was about seven or eight. I can't exactly remember. The story was told to me, and it's when I fractured my ankle. And I might not be telling it exactly how it happened, because I don't remember it, because the pain was so bad that I think my brain was just like, nope, you're going to forget about that. So, yes, I was 7 or 8, and we were living in Wheatamstead. I don't know if you guys know where Wheatamstead is, but it's one of my favorite, I think it's my favorite house that we lived in when my dad was pastoring. Anyway, point is, I was 7 or 8, and I was jumping on a trampoline that we used to have, and we don't have trampolines anymore, but I loved it, and I remember begging my parents if we could get a trampoline, and they finally got my sister and I a trampoline, and I was jumping, and I was jumping, and I loved doing all kinds of different tricks on the trampoline. Like, you had the one where you would do the pike, you had the one where you would, like, I don't know, like, split your legs like this. And then there was also one where you would do, like, you would cross your legs. Like, you would jump, and then you would land, and you would cross your legs as you, like, sat on the trampoline. And I think that was probably my favorite one, because I used to do that one all the time. And there was one day, though, where I was jumping, and I was jumping, and I was doing all the cool tricks, thinking, like, wow, I'm such a cool 7-year-old, like, no one's as good as me, I can do these really cool tricks. And I jumped and I jumped, and then suddenly there was a loud and I was like, oh, okay, that didn't sound right. And as I landed and crossed my legs, I can't remember which leg it was. I think it was my left? Yeah, it was my left. And it kind of went just like under and just like not in the right position. And it went, and I just remember, well, I don't remember. I think I screamed. And I was like, ah. Like, it was really, really bad. I can't scream the same as I did, but it was really, really bad. And I think my nan, she's here, she came outside because she was living with us for a couple of months at that time. She came outside and she was like, Lakin, are you okay? Are you okay? And she's looking very confused, but I think that's what happened. I'm not entirely sure, but she came outside and I was like, my ankle. And we went inside and I was kind of like hopping as we went inside, and I was probably crying my eyes out as well because I was a very dramatic child. I think I still am quite dramatic, but not like that anymore. And we go inside and I think my dad was home. I'm saying I think because I can't exactly remember, but he was home as well, and he looked at my foot and he looked at my nan, and they were like, my dad was like, it'll be fine, just wait till your mum comes home. So I'm sat, and my mum's a teacher, so she only gets home like much later in the day. Actually, I don't know why I wasn't at school that day. Anyway, that's not the point. So she comes home from work, and I'm sat there, and at this point I have like, do you guys know those UGG boots? Like the slipper type boots. I had a fake pair on. I think I really wanted a real pair, but they're too expensive. So I had my UGG boots on, they were my slippers, sorry, fake UGG boots on. And my mum comes home, my dad's like, yeah, you know, Lakin fell, she's fine though, it'll be okay, just go check on her. So my mum comes and checks on me, and I'm sat there with my leg up, because my dad told me to elevate my leg just in case. And my mum takes my shoe off, and I'm like, oh, that's so painful, don't like do anymore. And she looks at my foot and she's like, it's the size of a tennis ball. Lakin's ankle is the size of a tennis ball. So bear in mind, I was like 7 years old, so my foot's like this big. And then you have like a tennis ball, which is like this big, against that. And it's like, that's not okay. So my mom says to my dad, okay, Jacques, you need to take Lakin to the hospital right now because that doesn't look normal. And my dad was like, oh, but they take so long, and like, we'll have to wait there for like 3 to 4 hours. But we go, because it doesn't look right, the size of a tennis ball. My parents are actually, they love me. I make it sound like they don't love me, but they really do. So we go to the hospital, and it was a quick visit. Yeah, it was a quick visit. It wasn't 3 to 4 hours like we thought it would be. And they x-rayed my foot, and it was fractured. And then they cast my foot up, and yeah. So the reason I tell you this story is because as children, I think, I mean, we were all children at some point. As children, we tend to like go through experiences like this where, you know, something really cool happened in our childhood that we get to tell then when we're older. And it's because we tend to want to be adventurous and we're curious and we want to explore. And it kind of got me thinking, what is the difference then between children and then adults? Like, why do we kind of lose this curiosity or this wanting to explore as we get older? And I came across two studies done by, done by psychologists. And one of them was from the University of Michigan, and it was researcher Felix Warnecken. I don't think I pronounced that correctly. But he says that kids are not born selfish. So I wanted to look more at like these psychological studies about, are children born innately selfish, or are they born with good characteristics? And so he studied, he spent 17 years studying toddlers, and he learned that kids display altruistic behaviors from a very, very young age. So altruistic behaviors are actions that benefit others, often at a cost to oneself. But it's interesting because these characteristics or actions are driven by genuine concern for the well-being of others without any expectation of any personal gain. And like I said, they found that children do this from a very, very young age because he did this study on toddlers. And he said that what we found is kids have a spontaneous, biologically based tendency to care about others. They help early on, and they do that spontaneously without being asked, offered a reward, or even observed by their parents. And he said that this makes us believe that human nature is not purely selfish, but that we're equipped with some altruistic inclinations that can be elicited. Again, altruistic behaviors are actions that benefit others, often at a cost to oneself, driven by genuine concern for the well-being of others without expecting any personal gain. This is very, very interesting. And I was like, wow, okay. And so then I read another study done by Tomasello, and he said, children, from when they first begin to walk and talk and become truly cultural beings, young human children are naturally cooperative and helpful in many ways, though obviously not all. And they do not get this from adults, he says. It comes naturally. And he also said that as they grow, children's spirit of cooperation is shaped by how they judge their surroundings and perceive what others think of them. They become more aware of what is around them, and they worry more about what it's like and what it means to be a member of a group. So when I thought to myself, like, what is that difference between children and then adults? It's as they grow up, they then become more sensitive to their surroundings and the external factors, which kind of makes them, I think it does make them become more self-aware of who they are. And so you kind of, as a child, begin to lose that curiosity and that wanting to explore, because you begin to kind of be like, oh, like maybe I shouldn't do that because they're not doing that, so I'm not going to explore that. And so when people refer to childlike faith or faith like a child, they have in mind the sort of things that Jesus says in Matthew 18, verse 3, and Mark 10, verse 14. And to kind of connect what I was saying with the studies and with this, I'll get to that in a little bit. But when I was kind of, when I was doing research for this sermon, I really wanted to look at this term, which is kind of thrown about, I think, childlike faith. And I've heard it a lot online, like on social media, and I've heard it used in Sabbath schools a lot that I've been to at my college. And I was kind of like, this is very interesting and I want to learn more about it. And so, like I said, people tend to refer to Matthew 18, verse 3, and Mark 10 when it comes to childlike faith. And this is where Jesus teaches that the kingdom of heaven belongs to little children. So I would like you to open your Bibles to Matthew 18, verses 1 to 5. So that's Matthew 18, verses 1 to 5. And it reads, At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a child, whom he put among them, and said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." So it's very interesting here because Jesus isn't actually talking about faith. In fact, he doesn't even mention faith at all in this passage. Instead, Jesus is talking about, Jesus is talking about entering the kingdom of heaven, and he's encouraging his listeners to humble themselves like a child and receive him like a child if they want to enter the kingdom of heaven. But when I was reading this verse and these scriptures, I was kind of like entering the kingdom of heaven. I feel like that's not quite what Jesus is trying to convey here, but rather seeing the kingdom of heaven. Because when you think about entering the kingdom of heaven, you think about, you know, heaven's here, you're here, and you're gonna enter it. But we can't enter the kingdom of heaven right now, but we can see it. And so the phrase, "see the kingdom of heaven," does not mean go to heaven when you die, or going to heaven. If seeing the kingdom of heaven was the same as going to heaven or entering heaven, then the good work of personal humility would be required for entrance into heaven after death. But we are told that eternal life is received by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. Therefore, good works are not required to gain entrance into heaven. Because all the imagery and terminology in the Gospels is not about leaving earth and going to heaven when we die, but it's about heaven coming down to earth while we live. So seeing the kingdom of heaven requires humility. And I want to look more at this word humility. So the Greek, or the ancient Greek word for humility in this verse is actually a verb. And a verb is something that we do. It's an action. And it means, in this context, the Greek word, it means to bring low or to make low, to level or reduce to plain. And I decided, okay, I want to see what Google says about the meaning of humility or being humble. And it's funny because when I was researching this meaning, it described it as a noun. And it means the quality of having a modest or low view of one's importance. So seeing the kingdom of heaven requires humility, or requires being low or making yourself low, to make yourself level or to reduce to plain. So I'm going to read the text again, where Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter or see the kingdom of heaven. Whoever becomes humble like this child, or makes yourself level, or makes yourself reduce yourself to plain, you will see the kingdom of heaven, or is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." So seeing the kingdom of heaven is not about life after death, like I said, but it's about living and experiencing God's life in this life, here and now. I've done this a lot, and how many times have you thought during the day, "I wonder what heaven's like. I wonder what Jesus is like. I wonder what life will be like when Jesus comes again. I wonder, I wonder, I wonder, I wonder." But it's not about "I wonder." It's not about what will it be like. It's about how can I humble myself before Christ now in this life to acknowledge his presence in the life that I'm living, that he's given me right now. This is what Jesus has in mind when he teaches about becoming like a little child. That, you know, when you're a child, you want to explore and you have that curiosity. Experiencing the life of God in this life requires humility like a child. And you're probably wondering, okay, but how? How can you do this? Well, by not remaining ignorant. God gave us scripture so that we might learn, grow, mature, and reason, and become students, disciples, and followers of Jesus Christ. Instead, becoming like a little child means that we maintain the wonderful and beautiful characteristics and qualities of children that life in this sinful world tends to beat out of us. So when we look at one of those psychological studies that I looked at, Tomasello, where he said that as children grow and they encounter different experiences and different external factors, and they begin to become more sensitive to what's around them, and then they're like, oh, I need to be part of this group, or oh, I need to be like these people. And we look here and we're like, oh, so these wonderful and beautiful characteristics that children have, it's the sinful world that kind of beats these characteristics out of us, because we start to encounter the difficultness of sin. And I wanted to research what these different characteristics and qualities that children have that we don't really see anymore as we become adults. And this is tenderness of conscience, openness about emotions and feelings, creativity and imagination, wonder and awe, joy, eternal hope, playfulness and humor, trust, easy forgiveness, undying love, boundless exuberance and energy, always thinking the best about life and other people, being willing to learn and grow. These are the sort of qualities that tend to define children, but which get stripped out of people as they encounter the sin and brokenness of this world. As adults, we get bored with flowers, bugs, and sunsets. We tend to lose delight in talking with others about absolutely nothing. I mean, when was the last time that you said to someone, oh, like, did you see how blue the sky was today? Or did you see that tiny little ladybug in the grass? And then you spend hours talking about just that. We become jaded and disinterested. We hold grudges. We harbor fears and stay angry. Adults refuse to forgive. Actually, no, I'm gonna say we refuse to forgive. We remember the slights. We lose hope because our hopes have been dashed and destroyed so many times. We do things because they've always been done that way. And we have trouble imagining anything different. But children do not behave in any of these ways, and nor did Jesus. And it's about humility. It's about what Jesus says, where he says to the disciples, truly I tell you, unless you change, unless you make something different about yourself, you have to wake up in the morning and think, okay, I'm gonna be different today. I need to do something different. Unless you change and become like children, explore that curiosity that you had as a child, that wanting to learn new things and wanting to be willing to grow and not being afraid to do something wrong as well. Change and become like children. Then you'll see the kingdom of heaven. You'll see God much more clearly in this life now, in this sinful world. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. Humility. Are you being humble before Christ? Embracing that childlike humility is difficult. I mean, when I thought about studying theology, it wasn't easy because I had grown up in a pastoral family, and I always thought to myself, no, I do not want to be studying theology. I don't want to go anywhere near that. I don't want to be a pastor. I don't want people to think that I want to be a pastor. Just to say I don't want to be a pastor, but I enjoy speaking and I enjoy like talking about Jesus and the gospel. But I had to kind of think to myself, like, well, if this is what God wants, I need to humble myself before him and really think, like, this is not about me. It's not about my benefits out of life. It's about how does God benefit by using me? And so that's when I had to really think about, like, this is not about me. This is about him. And I think this is what Jesus is trying to say here, is that it's not about, like, what heaven will be like. I mean, heaven's going to be great, but it's about remembering that we have a life here that we've been blessed with and that we've been given with such incredibleness. And I don't even know how to explain it. It's just like, you can't explain it. There's no words to explain it, but embracing that childlike humility is not easy. And yeah, humility is an interesting thing because not many people can do it. It's not the easiest thing to do, but I think with God's help and with Jesus guiding us, we can wake up every day and choose to change and become different. And when I did this kind of talk, I did it at a Vespers, and I did not expect it to be shorter than what I was hoping. I hoped it would be longer, but I hope that you have found something from this. And what I want to leave you with is embracing humility and just remembering that this life that we have here is about Jesus and it's about his gospel. Thank you.
I don't know about you, but I was